Hello and welcome to another edition of Twat Tech Radio. I'm your host for today, DJ Dossman, and today we're going to talk about lockpicking. Lately at cons and in the news media and stuff, lockpicking's been pretty popular, and it's been gaining some interest at hobby lockpicking, and it's a pretty interesting, pretty fun hobby, I think, to get into. I first got into it about a year ago. I'd been interested in learning about it for a while, and I just kind of made some real crude picks and was able to pop open my first padlock. And later on, at Nauticon in 2005, I actually got my first set of real picks and started having a lot more fun with it after that. The picks I had made were pretty crude and didn't work very well, but I didn't really know too much about what you could make picks out of and stuff at that point. Basically, you know, if you get a basic set, there's several places you can acquire picks from. There's one place I order from, lockpicks.com. They've got a lot of different tools, a lot of variety of things. There's other places, there's a couple of different companies that make the picks, and there's a couple of places that sell them. Southward or Southern Ordnance makes picks that most places sell. I found lockpicks.com actually has them for about as cheap as any place I've seen, for, you know, $15 for a basic set. You know, it's just four rakes and a tension tool. And there's other companies that make them. There's some other companies that make some knockoffs of some very expensive picks and stuff. But you get the idea. So it's kind of tough to just talk about lockpicking technique and stuff. It really helps to have a visual aid for something like that. So I'm not going to get too deep into that. I'm just going to talk about what's been popular and some of the different techniques and stuff here. Another technique similar to lockpicking that's been getting talked about a lot is called bumping. And basically that's where you have a key. And if you can visualize the bidding, the cuts on the key, and if each position is cut down to the deepest possible cut that you can have, maybe just a tad deeper than what's actually a real cut, and then if you shave off the tip of the key and then the shoulders that normally prevent the key from going too deep into the keyway or into the lock, that's pretty much what a bump key is. And what you do is you put the key, this bump key, in a given lock, if it's a key that will fit into the keyway inside this lock. The original technique, whatever, is where you put it all the way in and you pull the key one notch out. And then you use some type of object to bump the key in that last notch all the way in. And a lot of times it's a pretty surefire method that the lock will go ahead and just open right up. It'll bump all the pins up and allow them to separate from the driver pin and cause the lock to just open up for you. So anyway, it's a very easy method. It works on a lot of different locks, and unfortunately, the more advanced the lock is, the better it's made, the more susceptible it often is to bumping. And so lock companies have been pretty upset about it. The general populace and the news agency has been making a big to-do about it. It's been known about for a long time in locksmithing circles, but it's just after Tool did some research, and Tool being the open organization of lockpickers out of Netherlands, a lock sport group, they publicized it quite a bit and let people know that this is an easy way to open a lot of locks and people need to protect themselves. So anyway, it's an interesting lockpicking method, and there's other ways of opening locks easily, but you get the idea. It's been kind of popular. It's been getting talked about a lot lately. There's a particular tool for bumping that a lot of people find helps a lot, and that's called a bump hammer. And it's the trick with it, a tool that you use to bump the key into the lock. if you have just the right amount of weight and just the right amount of flex in the tool and the tool's handle that you bump the key with, that seems to help quite a bit. I got my first bump hammer about a month ago, and it certainly it makes it a little bit easier to do bumping. So I don't know, the things that have been tough to find, at least for me online, are the weights and the springiness of the dimensions of the tool that make it work. And I think it's kind of, now that I've got mine, I'm going to go ahead, I'm probably going to break it apart and weigh the individual components and put some information online somewhere about that, because it just kind of irks me that it seems like a few people have the information and they're not really willing to share that. If you want to make a tool and sell it, that's fine, but I don't really like that. Everyone seems to have this do-it-yourself spirit, but no one wants to share some of the knowledge that's out there. So it's kind of challenging sometimes, but in the lock-picking world, there are certain groups that are very good about sharing information, but sometimes they get a little finicky, and they like to hold back certain types of information. So, but anyway, I digress. In the lockpicking world, there's a couple different communities out there. The most popular one online is lockpicking101.com. It's a good place to learn if you want to learn more about picking locks or bumping or anything of that nature. You can go to lockpicking101.com and, you know, cut your teeth and, you know, talk to people and get to know more people. They don't allow you just as an uninitiated person to discuss more advanced picking techniques there. You have to stick around for a while and get accepted into their advanced membership club in order to discuss more advanced things. But it's a good place if you want to go and talk with other people interested in lock picking and pick up some other information. You know, it's a very valuable resource. So there's also easypicking.com. That's another set of forums, another little community. No restrictions there, but not quite as many people use that site. So, you know, anyway, there's some good info out there. Other communities, there's Locksport International that is basically an international organization to assist people in starting locksport groups in their local community. Seem like some pretty reasonable people. There are membership dues associated with such a club. Zach and I, the Pack of Sniffers, wanted to start something here in our own town. And if you're in the South Central Indiana area in the U.S., and you want to get more involved in lockpicking, we've got a site and a sort of a club we're trying to start. It's a Fraternal Order of Locksport. And so if you go to bloomingtonfools.org, that's our site for a lockpicking group. Still trying to organize it a little bit and get some people, get some meetings happening regularly. But it's just basically friends getting together and talking about lockpicking and trading locks and stuff. You know, it's just a fun get-together, you know, so. So anyway, I got some of that out of the way. There's some interesting things you can get into. Once you get into basic lock picking, you know, that's fun and stuff, but then I started getting curious about more advanced types of locks and how you open these, you know, more advanced types of locks and what other kind of advanced locks are out there. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to learn about some of this stuff. There's one particular lock brand called Abloy, and it's a Finnish lock manufacturer, and you've got your normal keys that have the key pushes the pins out of the way. Well, this particular lock has a little discs, and so you really can't attack this lock in any way like a normal lock. You know, there's little discs that have to be rotated to the proper position, and then a sidebar falls into place. And So there are certainly ways to pick this. If you can make yourself the right kind of tool, you can turn each disc and kind of get a feel for when the sidebar falls down into its groove, you know. So, again, I apologize. It's kind of tough to visualize what I'm talking about, probably. But there's some other interesting designs out there besides just basic types of pin tumbler locks, and also to assist people in finding information about some of these locks, another project I've started is the Lockinpedia, and that would be lockinpedia.org, and I'll have all these links on the TwatTech site notes, of course. So anyway, Lockinpedia has several ideas in mind. Basically, it's a MediaWiki-based website. And one of the main things that I wanted to have with this project was the ability to have people to upload images of their interesting and unique locks that they've got wherever they happen to be. So there's, it's just starting out. I've got about 100 images so far up on the site, but I've actually got a couple other people that are starting to contribute images from locks they have in Switzerland and other places. So it's starting to kind of take off. I also, of course, I would like to get a lot of lock picking and lock sport resources, anything lock related. But my main goal for the site is to be an educational piece for people that want to learn about different kinds of locks. So pictures are definitely what I'm after, but written articles, anything at all is definitely what I want on there. I've been slowly putting information about different lock manufacturers on the site so you can get an idea of, you know, if you want to find out, I can pick all these basic locks, now what? Oh, Lockinpedia. I can go and I can find some more advanced lock makers and try, you know, making some specialty tools to open some of these more advanced locks and stuff. Interesting. You know, so that's basically the goal that I have with this, is to be a lock sport resource. And I've seen a couple other individuals. It looked like September, October, and November were like good times for lock wikis to start up. There's about four or five different lock wikis that started up in that time. So far, I've seen a couple of them die, unfortunately. I think the people that are starting this stuff up need to keep in contact and keep each other motivated to keep this kind of stuff going, but unfortunately, it hasn't really happened. But anyway, I intend to keep my resource up and available. I've got, again, the Bloomington Fool site, the Lockinpedia site. They should be, tend to keep those up indefinitely and make them good resources. Also, part of the BloomingtonFools.org site, our club site, I've been documenting some of my attempts at making some more advanced tools, like comb tools and such. So the project type stuff that's ongoing, I've got on our club site. Once I, if and when I ever, you know, finish up some stuff and finish the project off, I'll probably document it in Lockinpedia, you know, so other people can find it there too. So that's a couple different resources, available for folks. I guess one last thing to pass off to people, and that's basically to be responsible as far as, you know, if you're going to be into lock picking, of course, it's kind of a challenge because you got to make sure that you're not going to get yourself into too much trouble. personally, it's been a fun skill to have because I've been able to get... a couple people have locked themselves out of their houses, friends of mine, and I've been able to help in picking the lock and getting them back in their house, you know, without having to call a locksmith. But that's can be kind of dangerous because, you know, if you're not an experienced locksmith, there's the potential you can damage the lock, you know, by picking it. So you got to be kind of careful there. Some people get kind of, my opinion, a little ridiculous about how overzealous they are about saying, you know, you can't, don't pick locks that, you know, you rely on and stuff. And that's certainly a good thing to be aware of. And for someone that's just starting out, that definitely needs to keep that in mind. You don't necessarily want to just start picking, you know, your front door lock. You could screw it up if you're not careful. But if you've got some practice under your belt and you know some of the ways that you can screw up the lock and you can avoid those things, like getting it stuck in 180 position with no key in it, and types of things like that, that's you kind of you're higher up in the learning curve, and you can avoid screwing up someone's lock, you know. But it's still nice to be able to get friends and family into their house and stuff, you know. But again, like I was saying, you got to be careful about not getting yourself into trouble. And I don't know, personally, I don't really ever carry my lock set unless I've got my bag of locks with me. There's different places have different rules and laws about lock picking. I don't know. Supposedly, I don't know for certain, but I believe Washington, D.C., and possibly Virginia and some other places, it's actually illegal to have lock picks if you're not some type of a locksmith in your daily job or something. So you got to watch out for that. Find out what your local laws are regarding lock picking. A lot of people, like police officers or something, pretty much is not aware of hobby lock picking. And basically, if you're not a locksmith and you have lock picking tools on you, in their mind, that means you're a criminal. And it's obviously not the case, but you just need to be aware and not do foolish things like carrying lock picks with you and all the time, you know. Well, apologize, don't mean to say that that's a foolish thing necessarily, but I'm not confident enough to do that, because if you get yourself into some other compromising position, just for whatever reason you just happen to have lock picks on you, you know, that doesn't necessarily help. So anyway, you know, be careful about if you're carrying lock picks and stuff. You know, you want to make sure at least you've got. That's why I only carry my picks in my pick bag, you know, so if I get questions by a police officer or something, I've got pretty much all my proof right there that I'm not going around breaking into places. I own all the locks that I'm picking, you know, and it's not, you know, it's kind of my insurance, so to speak, that that I've got a reason to have the lock picks with me. And so, anyway, there's a few things to consider. There's a lot of different. This has been a pretty abbreviated rundown of lock picking in general. I'll probably come back and talk about some other things later on in a little bit more depth, you know. But anyway, I hope this has been informative. So anyway, go out, get some lock picks, have fun. Go to Nauticon 4 here in 2007. And if you want, I might say, I believe Zach and I are going to have something pretty cool regarding lock picking going on at this next Nauticon. I have to come and check it out. Bring some cash. And that concludes another edition of Twat Tech Radio. I've been your host, DJ Dossman. And be sure to check out the twattech.org website for links and notes from this episode of Twat Tech Radio. So anyway, spadoinkle.